In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
We are in our new series, as has been said, Eagle Eye, Jesus by John. And so for the next 4 weeks, running up to Easter, we're going to be looking at Jesus, the life of Jesus, who he was, through the perspective of John's gospel. And the reason we're doing this, reason why we're choosing John's biography of Jesus' life, is because it shows us something really different about who Jesus is. You know, and you've got these four biographies at the start of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then John. And the first three, if you read them, they sound of a piece. We call them the synoptic gospels because they share a bunch of stories, and the way they're written, almost the tone of them is similar. You've got Mark, who was written, that book was written just kind of a generation after Jesus came. And it's written by a guy called Mark, but we think it was kind of him transcribing the words of Peter, one of Jesus' closest friends. And this is kind of straight after Jesus' life. So it's full of action, it's full of miracles, it's just straight into the good stuff. And then soon after that, you've got Matthew who comes along, he takes Mark's gospel, but there's things, again, that he is an eyewitness to Jesus' life. He's got some other things that he puts in that he thinks are important. You've got more teaching about who Jesus is, about the Sermon on the Mount, that sort of thing. You see his life story of him being born and everything like that. And then finally you have Luke, who wasn't an eyewitness. We think he kind of collated a bunch of people who were eyewitnesses and brought it together to share their story of who Jesus was. And so when you read them, you get kind of a similar picture. They all have their unique perspective, but they kind of come together. And then there's John. And with John, we get something completely different, because John was writing at the very end of his life. So he is an old man, and he's got that old man wisdom that old men have, and he's kind of reflecting on a whole life with Jesus. And so what we see isn't such a kind of immediate response to the events of Jesus' life. It's a more reflective, almost mystic view of who Jesus was. I like to think of it, if we compare Mark to John, Mark is a bit like asking a teenager who's just come out of the cinema to explain what Avengers Endgame was like. He'd come out and he'd be like, oh my goodness, you had Thanos, and you had Spider-Man, and you had Iron Man, and all these other superheroes would be crazy and incredible. Whereas, that's what Mark's like with Jesus. It's action, it's straight in there, it's all kicking off. Whereas with John, it's a bit more like, it's like asking your granddad to tell the story of how him and grandma fell in love, and he would, on his recliner with a bourbon and a rich tea, he would lean back and and say, son, sonny boy, love is a long and winding road. It's a book with many pages. It's a song with many verses. And you would get this much more reflective, poetic, almost mystical answer. And that's what we see with John. He gives us a perspective on Jesus' life, which is, it's not chronological. It's not just logically going through piece by piece. Instead, we get this reflection on who Jesus is that is mystical and beautiful. And actually, we talk about each of these Gospels having a different animal, which kind of sums up, symbolizes what their Gospel says and who they show Jesus to be. And for John, as you may have guessed from the title, it's an eagle. When we read John's Gospel, we get this eagle-eyed perspective on who Jesus is. He's able to step back in his old age and look at Jesus from the perspective of kind of all time and eternity. He goes from the beginning to the end, and it's less about just the details and more about who Jesus is. And so as the next 4 weeks, we look through John's perspective at Jesus. I think for us, what I'd love for us to get out of it as we head towards Easter is if we did nothing more than just to think about who Jesus is, to learn more about him, to fall more in love with him, that'd be a great way to spend our Sunday evenings. You know, I love Jesus. He's fascinating. He's loving. He's kind. He's so many things that actually is worth our time just to look at who he is. But as we do that, as we head towards Easter, my hope is that the story of Easter and Jesus on the cross will be even more powerful when we see the perspective that John gives us. So what we're going to do is we're going to jump in each week. We're going to go through and we're going to look at a kind of a different part of Jesus' life. And I'm going to start right at the beginning. And I'm going to be honest, guys, the next 10 minutes or so might be, you know, I'm putting my theology degree on. I'm putting it to good use. It doesn't get used any other time, so might as well use it now. And you know, we're going to go deep. So if you're on your phone or, you know, you're a bit distracted, then put it away. Lock in with me here. Maybe lean forward to the edge of your seat with eager expectation. Get a pen and paper, something like that. But we got 10 minutes here of some big information, and I love you to stick with me. So we're going to start right at the beginning of John's Gospel in John 1. It says this, "In the beginning was the Word." Now let's stop there. First of all, if someone writes my biography, which obviously they will down the lines, and it began not, you know, Sam was born in Poole Hospital, but it began in the beginning of time itself, then I know I've done something pretty good, right? I know that this isn't a normal autobiography or biography. Actually, we can tell John isn't writing any old normal biography. He starts it with this context of the very beginning of time itself. This is the stakes we're playing with. He says, "In the beginning was the Word." Now, this word here, The word that we're about to look at, the word in Greek, is a word that means logos. You don't have to know that for right now. Store that away. We're going to come back to it. What I need you to know right now is that the word or logos, we can kind of think of it as John's nickname for Jesus. We've read ahead in the book. We've got the spoilers. We can sort of, not entirely, but partly just sub in the word, Jesus in for when he says the Word. So if we read that again, it says, "In the beginning was the Word." In the beginning was Jesus. This is an amazing thing that John starts his gospel, his biography with. Jesus was there at the beginning of time itself. Now, I often think that God created the universe, humans kind of messed it up, and then Jesus arrives on the scene and we can live with him. He goes up into heaven and we can live with him from now on. Actually, what John tells us is that Jesus has always been here, that Jesus was there from the beginning. Amazing. He goes on and he says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Now, this is when John starts to, the language gets a bit rich, but there's some incredible ideas. Again, we're just in the first two verses here, but already John's told us that Jesus was there in the beginning, and now he's saying he was there with God, but also that he was God. Jesus is God. John is super, super clear about it. And we get into some complicated things around kind of the Trinity, was that he was God and he was with God and all that stuff. But for now, focus on that main one, which is that he himself was God. And it's interesting that this verse, it uses in the beginning twice, as in the beginning was the Word. And again, later, in the beginning was the Word. Now, why is that? John's trying to make us think of the start of Genesis. At the start of Genesis, it begins, the creation of the universe begins with in the beginning. And John's calling our minds back to that. Because again, he wants to say, listen, this is what we're talking about here. When we talk about the life of Jesus, we've got to start right at the very beginning. And he goes on and explains that in verse 3 when he says this. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Again, this might be brand new, this might be old information. For me, this is kind of a crazy idea, that the universe was created through Jesus. Not only was he there, but he was part of the creative force of the universe. It says the same in Hebrews 1 verse 2, it says the same in Colossians 1 verse 16, that the universe was created through Jesus. It's a mental idea, and it's one that we'll come back to. But for right now, this is some rich stuff. In just three verses, John's told us that Jesus was there before the beginning of time, that he is God, that he's with God, through him the universe was created. I want to take all of those different ideas and I want to sum it up in just what you need to know for the rest of the talk, and that's this, that Jesus is God. John is just starting out straight up, here we go, into the big stuff, Jesus is God. That might not be a crazy idea for you, but trust me, when John's writing this, it is a mad idea. And actually, you know, for the guys reading this, for the audience that are reading it, this is a kind of crazy idea too. Now, what I need you to do is, this is going to take a bit of work on your guys' behalf, so go with me. I need you to forget that I ever told you that the Word is Jesus, that I gave you that little spoiler ahead. I'm sorry. I need you to wipe that Men in Black, erase it from your mind, because I want you to put yourself in the position of the Greek or the Jewish person reading this book. You see, when the audience, the original audience, the Greeks and the Jewish people reading this would have read it, they would have had a very different understanding of what God was saying, John was saying. Actually, when the Greeks read it, they think the word logos, for them, logos is the kind of force that exists beyond all the gods, that exists above everything else, that brings order to a chaotic universe. And so when they read, when John says the Word, you know, through him, through the Word, the universe was created, in the beginning was the Word, the Greeks are nodding along saying, yes, John, you're right. In the beginning was the Word, was logos, was the creative force above everything else. And the Jewish people, when they're reading this, you know, the rabbis would have taught about the Word of God, the logos of God. And essentially what they're saying, it's another word for saying the Old Testament God, that the logos is the God of the Old Testament. And so again, the Jews would have been reading along saying, yes, you're right, John, you're right when you say that God created the universe and he was there in the beginning of time. But then comes the plot twist. Here's where it gets really interesting, okay? Stick with me. If you've lost a bit of focus, come back in, because this is the big plot twist. This is the M. Night Shyamalan. This is the moment in Gone Girl when, you know, she's driving and I won't spoil it, but it's huge. It's a big twist moment, because he reveals this in verse 14. He goes on about how the word is light and truth, and you know, the audience are nodding along saying, yes, yes, you're right, that is God. But then he says this: the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John turns around and says, okay, so that one that I've been talking about, who created the universe, who is the force that exists beyond all others, that was there at the beginning, that's Jesus. He's the Son. And not only that, that's like the mini plot twist. The big plot twist is that he became flesh. That he became a human. And the word here that Jesus uses, it is really, really, that John uses, is really, really interesting. He uses a word for flesh, which actually is sarx in Greek, again, theology degree coming out. It's the word that the New Testament writers use when they want to describe like the worst bits of humanity. Like they say that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, the flesh causes us to stumble. That's what John says Jesus became. Now, he could have just said, God became human, or God took on a body. But he doesn't. He wants to make it super, super clear that Jesus is coming down, the creator of the universe, the creative force that was there with God as he created the universe, is coming down into all of our humanity. He wants to make it really, really clear, that simple point, that Jesus is human. Jesus is human, and not just a little bit, not just sort of human, but fully human. And imagine, again, we're in the perspective of the Greeks and the Jewish people reading this. That is mind-blowing. That's a game changer. The idea that God would come down and be human, that God would put himself into that mess, ridiculous. Now, for us listening, that might not be that big a deal. Maybe you've grown up in church your whole life, and we call it the incarnation. So carne being like meat, so chili con carne being chili with meat, fun fact, or carnivore being, you know, an animal that eats flesh. This is God with flesh on. That might be an old news to you. You're saying, yeah, Sam, I learned about this in Sunday school, all right? Come on, when are we getting to the good stuff? Or maybe you're not actually a kind of, you don't do church very much, you're just watching online. But even you did RE short course at GCSE. So even you know that Christians believe the incarnation, you know, fully God, fully man. We get it. And for us, we don't have that reaction a lot of the time that the Greeks and the Jewish audience would have had, of shock and plot twist and world changing. Actually, it's just something that we believe. But I want to ask a question tonight of you. Do you actually believe it? Does the idea that God became human and that Jesus is fully God and fully human, does that actually affect your life? Or is it just an idea that you've accepted and you go along with? Because if we do believe it, I actually think it has to change the way that we live, that we act, that we view the world. And so what I want to do in these next last kind of 10 minutes is ask you two questions. Because for a lot of us, I think we fall somewhere on the spectrum of kind of how we think about God. For some of us, we love and we think about God as the Almighty. He is the Almighty Creator and the one who judges and who is, you know, over all things. And then on the other side, some of us, we are much more comfortable with God the Almighty, that Jesus is our friend, he is our mate, he's someone that we can talk to and that we can pray with and we walk with and we know as a person. And both those things are true, but the problem is sometimes we lean on one and we miss out this other side of who Jesus is. And John doesn't want us to miss that. He goes to such great lengths to make sure that we see both those sides of who Jesus is. So first of all, do you know Jesus as a person? Now, my experience of, I've talked about my theology degree enough. It's not normally the sort of thing that theology students are proud of. We normally kind of shirk away when someone asks us what we studied, but here I am. But when I was at university studying theology, I had a pretty tough time in terms of my faith, because what happened was I studied the idea of God and Jesus, but then also other gods, atheism, pantheism, all these different theisms, from a kind of critical standpoint. And I kind of thought about faith and Jesus not as a person, but as a theory. And so I became quite comfortable with the rational idea that there must be a creator of the universe because it makes logical sense. But actually, I kind of lost touch with the fact that Jesus is a person. And so my faith became a hypothesis. It became a theory. It became just something that I believe. And you know, it wasn't until I started to actually do something about it. One of the big things I did was started to serve. I started to work with young people at Woodlands Church in the youth group. And as I kind of was with these young people and seeing the difficulty they were in and trying to walk alongside them and actually putting my faith into practice, that it stopped just being a theory. And I started to live it out because I was seeing Jesus as a person again and the difference that he makes. Do you have a theory of God? Or have you had an experience of Jesus? Now, for John, this must have been such a pressing issue. I think the reason why he's so keen to tell us right up front and center, Jesus became flesh, is because this is just me guessing now. This isn't in the Bible, I'm just guessing. But I imagine John has spent his life hearing people saying, well, you know, Jesus wasn't actually God, was he? He was just a good guy. And everyone, you know, after Jesus gone, kind of speculating, saying, was he really human? Was he actually human? Or did we just think he was human? And John must have been sitting there thinking, I saw the miracles, I know he's God, and I touched him, I walked with him, I ate dinner with him. The Bible talks about how John would put his head on Jesus' chest at the dinner table. It's like, I can't do that unless Jesus is human. See, John had an experience of Jesus as a person, and it changed his life. I wonder if you've had the same, or do you just have a theory, an idea of God? The thing is, if God is human, if Jesus came down with flesh, if Jesus came down with legs, then my faith has to have flesh. It has to have legs. It can't just stay as an idea. An idea about who God is doesn't get me out of bed in the morning. I don't want to give my life to follow that. I want to give my life to follow that, but also the person of Jesus who came and flipped tables over when he saw injustice and sat and ate with beggars and with poor people who healed people physically because he cared about their bodies. That is something that can get me going. That is something that I want to live for. I need to know Jesus as a person because I need my faith to be incarnate, to have flesh on, to have legs, just like Jesus does. Do you know Jesus as a person? Well, the other side of it, maybe you're on the other side. Actually, you say, you know what, I'm pretty good with the person of Jesus. I actually think that he was a really great moral teacher. I like his stories. I think he had some good things to say. You know, I like his quotes. I like Buddha's quotes. I like the Dalai Lama. I like all the, you know, he had some really cool things. And some of the verses that he says, you can put them on your Instagram photo and they work really well. Love and peace. I like the person of Jesus. Or maybe, you know, you've grown up in church. You've been kind of trying to follow Jesus for a while, but actually, you're a little more comfortable with kind of the person of Jesus. You've got a really good relationship with him. You talk, you pray, you read about him. But if you're honest, your faith doesn't look particularly supernatural. Your faith actually, when it comes down to it, is a few amazing teachings that you try and build your life around, but not a lot of supernatural, not a lot of God behind that. That can so easily happen to us as well. But again, let's take John's perspective here. What does John say about Jesus? Who does he say he is? If we go back to that verse, I just want to bring up verse 14 again. Because it says this, you know, we read that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Now, if we translate that word dwelling, it's actually interesting. We're going to do the fun Greek thing again, watch it swizzle. And I'm not going to try and pronounce that, but that Greek word, you can translate it a bit more literally as the Word became flesh and pitched his tent among us. Now, that sounds like Jesus is very human, because Bear Grylls can do that. Bear Grylls can pitch a tent. Jesus can pitch a tent. But actually, there's some real interesting history behind this. And bear with me again, we're going in deep. But when this says pitch its tent, it's referring back to something from the Old Testament. You see, God wanted to be able to be with his people in Israel. He wanted for his glory to be able to be seen by the people of Israel. But the problem was, you know, back in the day when it was animal sacrifices and trying to be pure and holy, and actually God's presence, God's being is so powerful, so holy, that for us that were just messing up all the time, we couldn't be in his presence. The two things just couldn't mix. In fact, people just died if they did, which is mental. What they did was God said, build a tent. They call it a tabernacle. And my presence will come and be there. And I'll reside there. And it was this place, the most holy place possible, where basically no one could go in it because God's presence was so raw and powerful. But that's where he lived, in this tent, in this tabernacle. And so when John says, Jesus took on flesh, became human, and pitched his tent among us. We can translate that again as Jesus became flesh and tabernacled among us. What he's saying is, Jesus didn't just come as a human. He came in the full glory. He is the same God that was there at the beginning, has now come down. And his glory can be seen in this person, Jesus. John gives us this eagle-eyed perspective that he doesn't want us to lose sight of that really important fact that Jesus is God. Do you know Jesus as God? Do you know his power in your life? If we go back to verse 1 again, we don't have to bring it up, but you know, we said that John started off by saying Jesus, that through Jesus the universe was created. John's giving us an eagle-eyed perspective here of all of time, and he says, in our mind it can sometimes be a bit like God created the universe, humans messed it up, so Jesus arrives on the scene out of nowhere to save the day. Actually, what John says is, through Jesus, God created the universe. And although humans mess it up and get it wrong, God is always working to redeem, to restore, to renew his creation. And so when Jesus comes and steps down into creation, becomes like us, that is an act of Jesus coming and saying, just as I created the universe at the beginning of time, I'm here to renew, to recreate here in this moment, because that's what I've always done. And we need to understand that this is the same plan A right the way through. This is God's character. This is who Jesus is. He comes to renew, to restore, to recreate his creation. And we're going to kind of flick ahead a bit to a bit of a spoiler here to Easter, because actually at the cross, when Jesus dies, it's the perfect picture of these two things coming together, that Jesus had to be human in order to be killed. But it's only because he was God that that moment of him dying is the moment at which we see creation begin to be restored and redeemed truly. That is the power of Jesus as God. And the problem is, if you just know Jesus as a man, if you just know Jesus the person, if you don't understand that Jesus is also God, that the power that was in the tabernacle in the Old Testament comes to live here in him, there isn't a lot of power to change things. I want to believe that Jesus, who was in the creation, who came to recreate, can do the same right now, today. I look around at the world and, you know, pandemic, global recession incoming, a mental health crisis, climate change. It doesn't look like creation is in a very good way when you look around at it. And so I can't just believe that Jesus was a good man with good teachings. I have to believe that if he is going to restore and redeem, that he has the power of God to do so. And I believe he has that power in your life too. That if you'll follow Jesus, both as a man but also as God, what you see is someone who wants relationship with you, who wants to walk with you, but also has the power to change that situation in your life that feels hopeless, that situation in your life that actually it feels like there's nothing a human can do. Well, God steps in and says, I'm here to redeem and to restore. When we have John's perspective, when we see just the amazing way that he talks about Jesus, not just as one or the other, but as both, as the fully human man and the full image of God. What we see is someone that we can follow him just as he walked and fought for justice and ate with sinners. And just as he walked to be human and to have relationship with us, we can do the same, but also just as he was God, just as he created the universe and saved us on the cross, that we can follow him in that as well. It's only when we have both that we really see the true picture of who Jesus is. Do you know him as God? Do you know him as a person? Because the Jesus we see in John is a Jesus who can redeem and restore creation and any situation in your life. What I want to do is, as we finish just kind of thinking about this stuff, and we're going to invite the band up in a moment, is I just want to pray for all of us, because actually that's a lot of information, that's a lot of kind of ideas, but this isn't about just ideas. This is about an encounter with Jesus. I said at the start, do you know him as an idea, or have you had an encounter with him? You know, the best way that we can grab hold of this stuff is if we encounter it ourselves, is if we meet God and human together in Jesus. So I want to pray for all of us as the band come back up. Yeah, God, we thank you. We thank you that, Jesus, you stepped down into our brokenness, that you said that creation is worth saving, that there is something here that is worth loving and redeeming, and that you have the power to do just that. And I pray for each one of us now, Holy Spirit, would you come wherever we are, in our living rooms, in our bedrooms, wherever we're watching this today, God, would you come and meet us? Would your presence just fill us now with an encounter of the real you? In Jesus' name, amen.